load-based handover. Right, so just first to illustrate basic handover to make sure everyone knows what we're talking about is it's not the thing for the hack value with the BTS on your desk with one BTS, because you obviously can't hand over between a single, well, you can, but it's, I mean, actually you can hand over, we still actually do that for a reassignment of a channel. We actually do a handover process, but that's besides the point. Well, the usefulness of handover is getting a subscriber from one cell to the other without interrupting the call. And how does it work? It's basically each cell tells the, I'm going to go through this fairly quickly. Each cell is telling the subscriber, the MS, the phone basically, which other cells are neighbors of the cell. So it, the BSC knows which cells are the neighbors, and it tells the subscriber a list of neighbors. Then the phone collects ratings, like receive levels of the neighboring phones, and the BSC actively compares them because it gets measurement reports from the phone. And if the BSC finds that a different cell is stronger than the current cell, it sends a handover command via the cell to the phone after having activated a new channel. And the phone sends a ratch to the new cell. The BSC gets a handover detect, a handover complete from the phone, and releases the old channel, and then everything goes on as before. Not shown here behind the scenes, the media stream is also switched over if it's a voice channel. So the media gateway is instructed to send and receive RTP from a different cell. And how do you decide for handover? That's basically what this talk is about. We've had handover algorithm one, which was so far just called handover decision without a number. Now it's number one since 2009. And recent addition, well, it was conceived a long time ago by Jolly, by Andreas Eversberg, whom I see occasionally on the CCC Congress, but he's not that active anymore. But for the old OSMO NITB program, he had a load-based handover on a branch, which we forwarded to OSMO BSC fairly recently. And what is the difference? The handover one basically simply takes receive levels and distance and receive quality. And if another cell is better, then let's go to the other cell. And the handover algorithm two takes many more things into account, like foremost the load of each cell. So how many channels are actually free? And if I hand over to that cell, will it be very full, or will it still be available to service more calls? Will this cell be very empty and this cell very full, even though both receive levels are acceptable? Stuff like that. Also very profound is the penalty time. So if I hand over it somewhere and it failed, then this handover algorithm two will hold off and not try again for a certain amount of time, which all of which is configurable. And also to a degree it takes in the voice rates, like if I'm on a half rate channel and the quality is bad or there's some interference, then it asserts that, okay, if I can go to the full rate channel, then I will have more bandwidth and better quality likely, and there's stuff like that going on. Again, all of which is configurable. And I also put InterBSC on this slide, which is basically the next talk. Here it's the handover one. Let's say the handover two doesn't have this load-based advantage yet on InterBSC handover. Well, let me just keep that for the next talk then. So if we just use receive levels from the cell, then what will happen is every phone that looks around will camp on its favorite cell. So if it so happens that you have two cells that are very nearby and are able to service the phones, but the phones just have this one cell that's just a little bit better than the other. Then all of them will go on the one cell and it will be full. So here I've made up a situation where there are only 4 traffic channels, but 5 phones are trying to establish calls on it. So that's a problem, and it's the solution is very easy, obviously, because there's another cell right next to it, and it could just take over one phone, but you can't do this with algorithm one because you just use the best receive levels and no other considerations. So what's the solution with algorithm two? You set a number, like a threshold, at which load distribution should start. In this example, I picked the minimum 3 slots of 2. So you say, you tell the cell, please try to keep at least 2 traffic channels open at all times. And so then the cell will go on, oh yeah, here are 5 subscribers, but actually 5 ongoing voice calls, but I should keep 2 slots open, so let's, since I have only 4, let's try to get rid of all the other subscribers so that I can have still 2 free slots. So it will then, the BSC will then decide to hand over 3 of the subscribers to the other cell, and then we have a distribution. And so on purpose, I didn't configure the other cell, so now the other cell will get many more subscribers than the other. So let's say yet another subscriber comes up and establishes a call. Now the second cell is full, and to get proper load distribution to equal the load between the cells, I will now also configure the second cell to have a min 3 slots of 2. And now this whole thing, just to illustrate, as soon as all cells have equal requirements on the min 3 slots, then the algorithm above the threshold will start to balance the load. It will try to have equal congestion on all of the cells. So with this configuration, the 6 calls get distributed evenly across both cells. So how do you configure this? Well, first of all, we have configuring of neighbors in a legacy way, where you basically say, this is my neighbor list. Like, let me see if I have a list here. Yeah, so basically what happens is each cell has an RFCN and a cell identifier, the BSIC, the base station identifier code. And the phone gets a list of neighbors composed of these cell identifiers, RFCN and BSIC cell identifiers. And so far, the legacy config was, just compose the list and send it to the cell. Now, there's a problem here. Maybe someone has noticed in BTS0 and BTS3, both of them have ARFC1, both of them have ARFCN1 and BSIC1, so they have identical cell identification, and that's a practical solution that operators choose if they have limited RFCNs, which obviously everyone has, and a limited amount of cell identifiers. So, this is a contrived situation. You would never do this if you had 4 cells, but if you have many, many over cells arranged on some land, then you are likely to want to reuse BSIC on the same ARFCN. So, in principle, it's possible to have the same ARFCN BSIC in the same within one BSS on 2 different cells. So, what you need is explicit neighbor relations. You have to know which cell was the phone at, and which other ARFCN BSIC, which other cell does this ARFCN BSIC neighbor directly correspond to. So that if you know the phone is on BTS1, then if I see ARFCN1 BSIC1, then I mean BTS0 and not BTS3. All this works when they are far apart enough, disaggregated enough, so that you can integrate the neighbors. So this is the I'm not even showing the legacy config because I would encourage everyone to not use it anymore. This is the new configuration that came actually in from InterBSD handover implementation. And it's as simple as this. So you have your BSC, and you tell cell 0 your neighbor is cell 1, and you tell cell 1 your neighbor is cell 0. And this could be repeated indefinitely. I'm not sure whether we're going to add anything like this, but for now it's just simply necessary to list all neighbors. So even though this is redundant information, you could say, okay, BTS, your neighbor, 0, your neighbor is 1. Then you could say, okay, that implicitly means 1 is the neighbor of 0. But I don't know, maybe there are some special tricks you want to do, and one thing only handovering that way, and then you can have a circle of handovering, or I don't know what. Anyway, so far you need to list all of the neighbors. And you can also list neighbors by cell identifiers. Now here we have not RFkinBASIC, but a location area code and cell identifier on the A interface side. That is going to get interesting in the InterBSD handover talk later. So you can use the internal BTS number, or you can also look, like here, I configured BTS0 with LAC200 and CI3, and I referenced that from the BTS1. Not so interesting, really. These are all the different types of identification we support at the moment. So the BTS number, LAC alone, and so on. And these correspond to the BSS map cell identifiers on the A interface. Yeah, you can look it up later or in the documentation. So now that I've configured neighbors and I want load-based handover, what do I do? Is first of all, I have to enable handover. I mean, these numbers can be slightly confusing because we have algorithm 1 and this handover 1, it doesn't mean use algorithm 1, it means enable handover. That happened because this handover 1 command was there long before we even started considering a second handover algorithm. Or maybe, I think Harald considered from the start to have several handover algorithms, but this VTY command is a bit confusing here. But handover 01 means switch off, switch on, and then handover algorithm means pick this algorithm. So to have load-based handover, we enable handover and pick algorithm 2. And then we configure lots of things that are available.
Is it enabled by default, though, or do you need to explicitly enable?
The question is it enabled by default? No, it's by default it's off. And so this is necessary to get handover. And one new thing with the new configuration that came in InterBSD handover refactoring is also that you can configure handover on each cell individually. So you have this one global config in this example, say configure min-free slots as 2 for TCHF and minimum receive level at minus 80 dB. But you can choose to, so this is valid for all the cells, but you can choose to configure individual cells differently. So in BTS0, I set the min-free slots to 3 and the receive levels to minus 60 in BTS1. So there's like several levels. There's the compile time defaults, then there's the global settings for all cells, and then there's individual settings for each cell, which get overlaid and independent from the order in which they are issued. And you can even go as far as putting all cells on handover algorithm 2, which you can see at the top. But you choose BTS1 to use handover algorithm 1 instead. So those can coexist. And as you see here, like the handover 2 configuration items configure handover algorithm 2, and the handover 1 ones configure handover algorithm 1. So it's very obvious once you have gotten past the number mix-up of 1, 2, 1, what is all this? But yeah, I mean, it's logical. And just a minor feat here, not that important. Once your BSC is running, you could go at like into cell 1 and remove the specific setting. So if you say handover algorithm default, then it will go back to the global setting and go back to handover algorithm 2. Yeah, just a minor feat there. And those are the configuration items for handover algorithm one we've been having for a long time, like receive level averaging, like how large is the window, how many measurement reports do I average until I decide. And the power budget is like it's like a hysteresis. So if the receive levels go up and down by one, I don't oscillate back and forth all the time, but there's like a distance. Once I'm here, I have to be this much better to go back. And the maximum distance is like the timing advance value at which I decide this phone is too far away. I will not, you know, it should go away to a different cell. And handover two has the same config, but some more. Is there some more on the bottom? Yeah. So the same at the top, and then since handover two also does codec reassignments from half rate to full rate and vice versa, it also has a configuration to enable or disable assignment within a cell. So now it's not called handover, but assignment or maybe reassignment, and many more details there. Like for example, right at the bottom is the congestion check timer that. How often do I check whether a cell is loaded and I need to offload traffic channels to a neighboring cell? And you can see at the bottom the penalty timers, like if a handover failed, for example, the failed-HO, how many seconds do I wait for the next handover? But first, you see the retries, second from the bottom. If it failed, I can retry like n times before I hold off. Like, it's very versatile. All this is made up, has been designed by Jolly a long time ago. And I just took over this code, and frankly, some of them I had to, you know, understand myself first. Basically, I made the code work and test and see what happens. So, what do you have here? What's fundamentally missing still is the other thing that Jolly implemented that I took over and forward ported was dynamic time slots a couple, I think it's already years ago. And now we have handover algorithm 2 in master and dynamics time slots in master of OsmoBSC. But handover algorithm 2 is still not really taking into account the dynamic nature of dynamic channels. So it is counting free full rate channels and free half rate channels, but dynamic time slots, of course, can be full rate or half rate depending on their configuration. So I haven't had time to, you know, churn out the details on that one yet. And also missing is the load distribution across different BSCs. So inter BSC handover load distribution. And also missing are tests. I mean, we have some C-based tests in OsmoBSC itself, where Jolly, like basically he invented a string-based scripting of handover situations and goes through them. But of course, we want to use the TDCN3 suite. There have some rudimentary tests, and they could well be expanded. And I would also actually like to see real physical handover happening in the Osmo GSM tester, which is also not implemented yet. So just this is like a test transcript where we test all the handover configuration in Osmo BSC. And there's a, how can I do this? There's a lot going on here. I just put this in case there are some detailed questions. So that puts us to the end of load-based handover, and I would continue to inter-BSC handover unless there are some questions to this specific topic.
So I'm curious about what the motivation might be to have a larger min-free slots number than just one. I mean, is it instant massive load, or it seems like the algorithm would load balance if you just set it to one free slot minimum.
Yeah, so what happens is like we only start doing handover once a call is actually busy. So like imagine the one extreme is you, like it's a trade-off. The one extreme is you have bin-free slots of one, then the cell will fill up, like let's say, looking at this example here, the first cell will fill up, it will have three phones, and then only one channel is free, while the other cell is still completely empty. Then the fourth phone comes up, fills up the cell, and then after a while, the load, the congestion check comes up and sees, oh damn, this cell is full. Now imagine in this period of time, another phone coming up, which can only see the first cell, it will be denied service because no channels are free, even though the other one has been completely idle all the time. And the other extreme would be to have min-free slots as everything, like here, min-free slots of 4 or even 900 or whatever, then it would always do load-based handovering. And then the situation is like, say, the current cell has very good receive levels, and the other cell has just above non-critical receive levels, then I would still hand over it, even though this first cell is still fairly idle, and there's no need to introduce this overhead. So it's a non-trivial decision for the operator to take. Yeah.
One comment that Rocket just made is that as soon as you have dynamic time slots in addition to load-based handover, then of course reserving more free slots means more capacity for PDCH. So you have more bandwidth available for GPRS. So that's another answer to that question.
Yeah, that's true.
Could not say it better.
So I'm sure the lack of questions is not the lack of unclarity of the subject. The more I dealt with load-based handover, the more I was amazed at the amount of complexity that you need to understand. So, but feel free to ask questions on the mailing list or personally or whatever. And I mean, so far the deployments are fairly limited. So we have this maybe like Rizomatica has. How many villages do you have with cells that can see each other adjacent and where you would have handover that would be useful? It's not like a huge amount. And this is really an like a production network feature.
Events,
yeah, that is the next interesting thing to see this going on at the Congress for me also. But it opens up the road forward, and I think also some rural areas want to actively use this and have requested this feature. So that's load-based handover. And